The Appalachian Mountains hold some of the most terrifying encounters ever reported. It seems the deeper you get into those woods, the more bizarre it gets. And the true stories that come out of there are some of the scariest I have ever heard. Let's get into it. Our first story. This happened about 12 years ago when I was a kid. Around 11 years old, my younger brother was 2 years younger than me. Our dad took us on a camping trip. Blue Ridge Mountains, West North Carolina, Appalachian Mountains. It's known for this cool, bluish haze that covers the area. It was pretty remote. No cell service, no other campers nearby. Just a small clearing in the woods with two campsites. And a tree line that felt way too close once it got dark. My dad had done a ton of camping growing up, so to him it was nothing. But for us, the trip was exciting but also a little intimidating. He set up two tents, one for him and one for me and my brother right next to it. Close enough that if we needed him, we could just step outside and be at his tent in a few seconds. And the first day was great. We hiked a little, explored the area, and just hung out. But I remember before we left, some older kids in our neighborhood had been telling us creepy stories about things in the woods. So that night, once it got dark, everything felt a little heavier. We climbed into our tent, zipped it up, and just talked for a while. At some point, we both went quiet. Then we heard it. Footsteps circling around the tent. Not like an animal, like a person. It was step, then a pause, then another step. It was totally dark, and my brother whispered, "Do you hear that?" I said, "Yeah." We both just sat there completely still, listening as it moved around us. Finally, I called out, trying to sound braver than I felt, "Dad?" No answer, and the footsteps didn't stop. "Dad?" I said again, louder. Nothing. At that point, we were way too scared to stay. We quickly unzipped the tent and ran straight into my dad's tent. He was asleep, completely asleep. We shook him awake, panicking, talking over each other, explaining what we heard. My dad listened to us, smiled, and then kind of laughed and said it was probably just an animal, maybe a deer, maybe something smaller. He went out with a flashlight, checked around, and didn't see anything and told us it's no big deal. There's lots of wildlife out here, but we ended up sleeping in his tent that night. Before we fell asleep, we were having a good laugh about all of it, joking with each other. I think my dad was trying to make us feel better about it. He was funny, like, "Oh boys, do you hear that? Boo." You know, being goofy, lightening the mood. The next day felt normal again. It was actually the best day of the trip. We went fishing, caught a couple small ones. My dad made burgers over the fire. By the time it got dark, it felt stupid to be worried. There's a lot of little critters roaming around out here. It's different than it is at home, my dad said to us. So we went back to our tent. At first, everything was quiet. We had been laying there for about an hour, asleep or almost just about, when we heard something again. Not footsteps this time, a voice, right outside the tent. Soft at first, then a quiet, breathy giggle. We both froze. It came again, just a little louder this time. "I see you." My chest tightened instantly. I whispered, "Dad?" But I already knew it wasn't him. Then the voice came again, right next to the tent wall. "You scared?" Then another giggle. It didn't sound like my dad. It didn't sound like an adult. It didn't sound like a kid either. It sounded like something trying to sound playful. Mocking. We didn't move, didn't answer. We just stared at each other, frozen. Then something shifted outside, and we saw it. A shadow right against the side of the tent. Tall. Too tall. Its head stretched higher than it should have. The proportions all wrong. Long, narrow, almost bending slightly at the top. And it just stood there, like it knew we were watching it. Then the voice came again, closer this time. I know you're in there. My brother started crying. I grabbed him and we both started screaming. We tore the tent open and ran straight into our dad's. Dad, there's someone out there. He was already awake this time. He grabbed a flashlight, stepped out, and scanned the woods. Hello? He called out. Nothing. No footsteps, no voice, no movement. But I remember how long he stood there, just looking, like he was listening for something. Then he turned back to us and said, "Pack your stuff." Right then, in the dark. We packed as fast as we could, hands shaking, and the whole time I felt like something was watching us from the trees, waiting. Thankfully, our car was parked right on the edge of the campsite. We left within minutes and didn't stop until we hit the main road. We never went back, and for years, my dad didn't really talk about it. But when I got older, I asked him again, and he was quiet for a while. Then he said, "I didn't tell you guys that night, but before you came running into my tent, I heard something too. Voices coming from the woods." And then he said he heard someone giggling too. I don't know if that made me feel better or worse. I knew what we heard was real, but I guess I kind of hoped I imagined the whole thing. Just being so young, scared, and having an imagination. But my dad heard it too. Whatever it wasn't human, I can tell you that. How tall it was. 8 feet, it looked like. And its voice, I will never forget the way it sounded. Our next story. This happened last October, hiking through a remote stretch of the Appalachian Trail in West Virginia, and I still don't have an explanation for what happened. It was supposed to be an easy afternoon hike, just me and my friend, Jen. We'd both done sections of the trail before, nothing intense, just enough to feel comfortable out there. And before anyone comes at me, I am local to the area. I have heard all the creepy stories. I grew up with the folklore, but nothing had ever happened to me, so I sort of started believing it was all fake, made up. But after what happened to me, everything changed, and I know it's real. Jen brought her dog, Scout, a super friendly golden retriever who usually stayed close, but had a habit of chasing literally anything that moved. The trail was really peaceful that day. We passed maybe one or two people the entire time. And after about 2 miles in, it felt like we had the whole place to ourselves. We were just talking when Scout suddenly bolted, full sprint, straight off the trail into the woods. "Scout, hey, come back," Jen yelled, already running after him. She turned back to me quickly and said, "Stay here, I'll get him and come right back." And then she disappeared into the trees. I stayed on the trail, listening to her voice fade deeper into the woods. "Scout, come here." Then nothing. I waited a couple minutes and called out, "You good?" No answer. Another minute passed. "Jen," I called out. Still nothing. That's when I started to get this strange feeling. The woods had gone completely silent. I stepped off the trail slightly, looking toward where she had gone. "Jen, did you get him?" I called. Louder now. Nothing. I didn't hear Scout. I didn't hear her. Then my phone rang. I was so on edge at that point, I jumped. I looked down and it said, "Jen calling." I answered immediately. "Hello?" Her voice came through, but it sounded off. Still her, but flat. Like there was no emotion behind it. "Hey," she said. "Come quick, I need your help." I was relieved. "Jen, oh my gosh, where are you? I've been calling you." There was a pause, then more urgent this time. "Just come into the woods. Hurry." "Where are you exactly?" I asked. "I don't see you." Another pause. Then she replied, almost irritated, "Just come. I'm right here. Hurry." Then the call cut out. I had never heard her talk like that before, but I just ran. I left the trail, pushed straight into the woods, branches catching on my arms as I called out her name. "Jen, where are you?" Nothing. I kept going faster. My heart was pounding. I was panicked. "Jen." And then, "Hey." I froze. The voice came from behind me, from the trail. I turned, and there she was. Jen, standing exactly where I had left her, holding Scout's leash. Scout stood calmly behind her like nothing had happened. She looked confused. "Where are you going?" she asked. "You just called me," I said. "You said you needed help." I began jogging back towards the trail, and her expression changed instantly. "What?" "You called me," I repeated, holding up my phone. "I thought something happened." She shook her head slowly. "I didn't call you." I literally answered my phone. My stomach dropped. I looked down, and the call was right there. "Jen, 2:17 p.m., incoming call." I showed her, and she just stared at it. "I didn't call you," she said again. She pulled out her phone, turned the screen, and I saw. There were no outgoing calls to me. This made no sense. Then, from somewhere deeper in the woods, "Hey." It sounded exactly like her. Scout let out a low growl and pressed against her leg. We didn't wait. We turned and walked fast back down the trail. Both of us were so weirded out, we didn't talk much on the drive home. She said maybe there was some sort of glitch, a bad signal, something weird with the phone. But neither of us really believed that. And that didn't explain the voice. There was this unspoken understanding between us that something about it was not right. We both went home that night, and I remember feeling uneasy, but also kind of convincing myself it was over. Until around 2 a.m., my phone started ringing. It woke me up instantly. I reached over, still half asleep, and looked at the screen. Jen calling. I was flooded with this wave of anxiety. For a second, I just stared at it. Then I answered, "Hello?" Silence. There was no static or background noise. "Jen?" I said, sitting up now. Nothing. But I had this overwhelming feeling, call it intuition, that I wasn't alone. Something was there on the other end, just listening. I quickly hung up. A few seconds later, I called Jen. She answered on the third ring, and from the sound of it, she had been asleep too. "Hello?" she said, groggy voice. "Jen, did you just call me?" "No, I'm asleep. Why?" "Wait, why?" she said. I told her I got a call from her again. I don't hike alone anymore, and neither does she. And that 2 a.m. call? It's still in my call log, same as the one from the woods. It wasn't in Jen's, though. There was something out in the woods that day. It wanted me out there alone, and it was powerful enough to manipulate technology. And if it can do that, what else is it capable of? Our next story. I've been part of search and rescue in the Appalachian Mountains for a little over 2 years now, mostly out of Western North Carolina, though we get called across state lines depending on the situation. Missing hikers, lost kids. It's not easy work, but so far, I've been pretty good at it. I don't say that to brag, just that I've had a pretty solid track record. I know how to follow signs when it looks like there isn't any. How to keep people calm when they're on the edge. Most of the time, if someone's out there, we find them. But there's one case I don't talk about much. Not because it went bad, we actually got her back alive. But what happened in those woods before and after we found her, it still bothers me. It was early spring. We got a call about a young woman who'd gotten separated from her hiking group somewhere off a trail that branches off the Blue Ridge. Not a dangerous area, but the woods out there are dense. We went out before sunset. I was leading a small team with two canine units. The dogs picked up her scent faster than expected, which usually means the person hasn't moved too far. That was a good sign. We tracked for a bit, getting deeper into those woods. Deeper than I would have liked, given how fast the light was dropping. So about 30 minutes into the search, when we came across something that shouldn't have been there. A staircase. Just standing there in the middle of the woods. There was no structure or foundation or debris around it, just a narrow set of steps, ending in nothing. I had heard about them before. Other officers had mentioned finding things like that out here. Random staircases. Always out of place and alone. And every single time, the same advice was given. Don't go near them, don't touch them, and whatever you do, don't climb them. I remember just standing there for a second, staring at it. One of the guys behind me said quietly, "Just keep moving." And I should have, but curiosity got the better of me. I don't know how to explain it. I just felt like I needed to climb that staircase. Very out of character for me. It was like something came over me. I got to the front of them, put my foot on the first step, and then the next. It didn't feel like a decision I was making. It was something I was already doing. About halfway up, everything went quiet. Just silent, muted, like someone had turned the volume down on the world. By the time I reached the top, I couldn't even hear my own breathing. That's when I felt it, this heavy sinking feeling in my chest, like I was doing something really bad and something had just realized I was there. "Get down," someone shouted. It snapped me out of it. Another officer was yelling from below. His voice was suddenly loud again, like someone had flipped a switch. "What are you doing? Get down right now." I didn't argue. I turned and came down faster than I went up. The second my feet hit the ground, I just realized what I had done. No one said anything for a minute. We just kept moving. No one brought it up again. We picked the trail back up not long after that. The dogs led us another mile or so before we finally found her. She was curled up underneath a large, rotted log, almost tucked into it like she was trying to hide. Just laying there in the dirt, shaking. At first I thought she might be injured, but there was no visible trauma. She was just shocked. We got her out, got her moving, and started heading back towards base. A few minutes into the hike back, she spoke. Turned to me, and in a whisper she said, "The man in black is following us. Do you see him?" I looked behind us, and there was nothing. I figured she was just in a state of shock or something. "Then," she said, "he saw you on the stairs." I stopped. I hadn't said anything about the staircase, neither had anyone else. And we were miles from where we found it. I asked her what she meant, but she didn't answer me. Just kept turning around like someone was behind us. A few moments later, she said quietly, "You're going to pay for that." My entire body tensed up. There's no way she could have known. We continued making our way back, and she kept saying things like, "He's still behind us." And, "You really shouldn't have done that." I walked faster. By the time we saw the lights from base through the trees, everything snapped back to normal. We got her back safely, handed her off to medical, and there were no injuries. She was just shocked. Later, I asked her about the man in black and what she said, and she just shook her head, like she didn't want to talk about it. I've worked dozens of cases since then, but I've never experienced anything like that again. And I've never climbed another staircase in the woods because I still think about what she said, about how something or someone saw me up there.